confused by finances, investing, estate, and retirement planning? Well, I went to school so you don't have to. Welcome to Finances And with Kathy and Jennifer.
Welcome to Finances And. I'm Jennifer and I'm here with Kathy. And this week we are celebrating our 1 year anniversary.
Woohoo! We wanted to say thank you for listening and for sharing with other people. We also wanted to thank you for your reviews that you've left. And in fact, we've decided to have a little contest with the reviews. If you leave us a review between February 20th and February 28th, we will have a drawing for an Amazon gift card. You'll just need to email us at financesand@aol.com. and let us know that you are the one who left the review. Then we'll put your name in a drawing, and the episode following the 28th, we will announce the winner.
Awesome. So we were going back through our episodes this week and looking at statistics. We found our top three episodes for the year were holiday spending, investment properties, and millionaire habits. So if you didn't get a chance to listen to those, they were pretty popular. You might want to go back and have a listen.
And continue to send us your topics for episodes. We've gotten so many great ideas from people who have mentioned what they're interested in. And let your voice be heard. We will be happy to try and get an episode for you as long as we know what it is you guys are interested in.
Yes, we love hearing from you. And we are excited to have been able to provide financial education for the past year.
And with that, we begin.
Welcome to Finances And Kids and Money. This week, we'll cover when to talk to your kids about money, some suggestions as to what to tell them, and why it's so important that you do. How much should you expect your children to understand about finances? One of the things that I've heard is that a rule that you could use is to answer a question at a high level, and if they keep asking, then continue to give more details.
I've read that you should start talking to your kids around age 7, but I can tell you as an educator that introducing them as soon as they're interested in having a conversation about it is going to be the most beneficial for you. If you give them opportunities with money to either discuss it or play with it in the moment that you're working with it, it makes it more important to them and it will engage them and it will get them to start asking you questions as to what you're doing.
You could start with coins. You could find ways to give them coins and a way to see those coins grow. You could use a clear container that they could access and count the coins, not necessarily the value, but just the number of the coins. You could let them sort them by size and color. You could have them choose between a store brand juice or cereal and a national brand, and then you could have them do a taste test with it at home to see how similar it is and decide if it's worth the savings. Or you could even give your young child a small amount of money, like $2, and then let them choose certain fruits at the grocery store. Let them see that you could buy more of certain fruits than others with that money based on the price.
I mean, reality is if you give them $2 and say they can choose bananas and grapes between those two, you're going to find a lot more bananas for $2 than you are going to be for grapes. And so is that worth it? Is that value worth it to them? Just being able to play with it and making some financial choices will really get them involved. Plus, quite honestly, it might make them eat more fruit or vegetables. When you write checks, and you might need to find a way or a reason to write checks in this day and age, or using the ATM or doing any kind of shopping, explain to your kids what you're spending your money on and what is the purpose of this purchase. For example, if you're tempted by an impulse buy, show them that you're going to wait a day. Show them that you're making a decision between two things. Besides, it might just be what your own budget needs, that waiting a day and deciding about it.
Yeah, and that can include online shopping as well, as that's where a lot of us are making our purchases now, too. So explaining that to your kids would be beneficial as well.
Sure. Show it by, you know, tell your kids, you know, look, I'm putting it in the cart, but now I'm going to decide and come back to it. And maybe it's not as exciting as it was in the moment. I definitely utilize that personally. I'll go look at things. I'll put them in carts. And then next day, if it doesn't really matter, which generally it doesn't really matter, just don't buy it.
Yeah. Kids can have a savings account as soon as possible. This is where you can show them why saving is a great idea. The money in their piggy bank will never increase unless they add to it. Or if they put it in a bank, you can show them how the bank will add to it in the form of interest. Once they have enough money, you can open a checking account that they can get checks and an ATM card to access.
One thing that you might consider is if you're going to pay your kids for chores or just give them money. That's a family choice, but in some way you can give them a small amount of money. One rule I've heard is 50 cents for every year they are old. So for example, if you have a two-year-old, you could give them a dollar. I wouldn't suggest a two-year-old getting a dollar, but that's the idea. Is for every year they are old, they get 50 cents. So every time they have a birthday, this amount goes up by 50 cents for them. And again, this can be for chores they do, or it can just be because you're part of a family, you have to do chores, and we're going to give you this money because it's the way as a small child that you can actually earn money. In our home, the kids earned money and they had three buckets that their money could go into. There was spending, there was savings, and there was charity. Half of whatever they earned that week went into savings, a quarter went into spending, and a quarter went into charity. They got to see their money grow because we would keep a list on our freezer of how much money they had. And then they got to spend the charity or their spending money in any way they wanted to. That was their choice on how those monies were spent.
Kids should have a long-term and short-term goal to save for too. Let's face it, a short-term goal could be a candy bar or ice cream, but it's the practice of having a goal that's important. Long-term goals can be whatever your child will need to save a few months for. You can talk about how close they are getting to that goal. You could also play games that you need to count out money in. So Monopoly does that, but there are others too. There's a game called the Allowance Game, Cash Flow for Kids, Buy It Right, Payday, which is a classic game. Teens can play Thrive Time or Act Your Wage.
Very punny. One of the best lessons that you'll ever teach your kids, though, is living with mistakes. Allow them to spend their money and feel free to counsel them before they actually make their purchase, but let them choose. In some days, they're going to be making mistakes in those choices. Those hard life lessons are going to be great conversations. Not that you need to bring it up and beat them about the head and neck with it, but to remind them that we all make mistakes and that once that money is spent, it's gone and they're going to need to start over their savings for whatever it is that they want or need. You can also point out now what opportunity cost is, and that's really when you're making any choice. When you choose the chips in a vending machine over, say, the crackers become the opportunity cost. And that's obviously a low-risk example of choosing one item over another, but at least they get to start identifying when I choose something, I'm giving up something else. So that when they get to the point where they're going to be choosing between, say, video games and shoes, they understand what it is they're actually giving up. And this is also a great time to go over the difference with them between what is a want and what is a need.
How do you explain compound interest to kids? If they have $10 and it can earn 5% a year, at the end of the year, they'll have $10.50. Then the next year, they don't earn 50 cents. They earn more because they are earning interest on last year's interest. So after 2 years, they would have $11.02. Now imagine you had $10,000 that would earn $500. After year one, you would have $10,500. By year two, it would be $11,025.
With compound interest, your original amount or your principal doubles around the ninth year if it's compounded monthly. So that's terrific if you're saving money. But the danger is that that same thing happens when you're borrowing money, say with a credit card, and it's being compounded monthly. That amount will double after 9 years. So if you're just putting something on a credit card and paying the minimum, that amount will continue to double. So again, you want to show them the benefit of it as a saver and then be sure and warn them about it as somebody who has to borrow money. By using multiplication, you can show them how quickly numbers grow when it multiplies. And at the rate, if it compounds monthly, interest is added to your principal monthly. If it compounds daily, then it's added in daily. This is a great time to show them one of your own credit card or mortgage statements and have them try and find the interest rate that you're currently paying. And then they can even compare interest rates on one product to another and let them see if they can, again, finding it on there, but then talk about, well, what does a 17% interest rate versus a 2.25% interest rate mean to you based on the balance that you have on that particular bill?
As your kids get older, they should start working, not necessarily at a job that issues a W-2, but small, responsible jobs where they can earn money. So this could even be jobs in your home, like mom's helper. Kids around 10 can assist an adult at home entertaining the kids while they do other jobs. 11 to 15-year-olds can take CPR classes and start babysitting. Pet sitting for a neighbor is another great way to be responsible while an owner is away. And there's always the classic lemonade stand, although probably not a huge money maker, but it does allow kids to budget money for supplies as well as spending time outside hawking.
And practicing those skills.
Essential life skills.
Yes. Did you ever have a lemonade stand?
No, not that I can recall. Did you?
I feel confident that I did, but I also feel like somebody, A, might have wanted the kids out of the house, but just provided the cups and the lemonade and all of those. And so all we were really doing was mixing a powder and some water and standing there screaming lemonade. It wasn't really described as to what would be the benefit or how much cups cost or how much lemonade costs. So I was just curious if...
Right. I lived out in the sticks. There was no one around to buy lemonade.
You could also have your kids do some lawn mowing or yard work, like raking or planting, and maybe even weeding if you trust them to pull the weeds, not the flowers. These are all great ways to work and commit to a long-term way to earn money. And by long-term, I mean maybe over the summer. They could offer a dog walking service after school. Maybe this is a way for them to earn money and offer a less expensive option to pet owners that work and a way to build responsibility for your kids. Of course, a family business is also a great option if you have one, but it's important that lines are agreed upon ahead of time so that the kids know when they're at a job, it's the time to act like an employee versus acting like your child.
The final examples are W-2 jobs. So those could be jobs in retail or lifeguarding jobs. And those are great first jobs for kids, but your state will have requirements on the age of kids and the work permits needed. But this is when real understanding of money begins. This is a time to create a real budget and allocate money into categories important to your child. Finding categories like eating out, gas, spending, those are all important lessons for them to see and figure out how to use their money. You can also co-sign a credit card with your child and get a very low limit, like $500, and start building their credit report at a young age as well. This one strategy will be one of the largest lessons you'll be able to teach your kids.
I mentioned charity earlier because compassion is a value that you can let your child experience. So whether they donate to your religious organization or to local homeless shelters, you can encourage them to actually physically volunteer as well and see how their financial contributions make a difference in that organization.
Long-term planning for college, a car, a house, and eventually retirement can also be discussed and even be in different buckets than just one savings bucket. Your children can put up to 100% of their annual income into a Roth IRA.
And this is a great choice because it has... Your child's going to pay a very low tax right now, and then they won't be taxed on that when they go to take it out at retirement.
Yeah, so you can even help by contributing to their IRA, even if they don't put it all in. And time is on their side in this situation, as this is an amazing way to teach them about their retirement and investing.
And so what she means when she says don't put it all in is if your child earns $2,000 in a year, they can legally put in up to $2,000. Now, you might have had them put some of that in savings, some of that for charity or however it is they're using it, but you can help give them money so that they can invest up to $2,000. You can't exceed the Roth limit, but you can put in up to 100% of what they earn, and that will allow their retirements to start growing now as a young child. Investing is something that they're going to do with that Roth that Jennifer just mentioned, or you could open a brokerage account for them. You can have them consider companies that they're familiar with. It could be sportswear like Nike or big names that they recognize like Disney. It could be restaurants or toy makers or even gaming companies that are other options available to them. They can get stocks in just a few companies, or they could choose to invest in an index fund like exchange traded funds called ETFs. The benefit of them choosing an ETF is it's a way to get diversified. It's going to include hundreds of different stocks in one purchase. And the great thing about that is the safety, because they have so many different stocks. It means they're keeping their purchase safer. And if one of the stocks in the ETF takes a hit, they don't have to worry so much about the rest of the purchase. It generally, 100 stocks aren't going to fall all at the same time. The downside is, though, it might be harder to get them excited about an ETF as it would be purchasing a share of something that they already are interested in as a consumer. You might even consider doing both if, you know, if the option is available to have one ETF and one share of something that they can see by name.
Keep excitement high by checking for wins and losses in their investments at least weekly with your child so that you all can discuss them. Let's face it, when it's their money, they will get engaged. The real education is when you share your own financial stories, like how did you earn money? What stories can they relate to? The more we share of our own experiences,
the good and the bad,
the more they will listen. You can do this when you complete your taxes. You can explain why we pay taxes and the role of them.
You can also explain why you're donating to charities and why you decided to give to those in need. And of course, how are you making financial choices for your family? Why do you choose the brands you're doing when you're shopping? Why do you choose the vehicle that you buy or the car that you're leasing? And why do you buy versus lease? Really, you're trying to share with them some of your financial decisions, but also some of the hardest financial lessons that you had to learn because you want to help them try to avoid those.
Mm-hmm. Our failures in finances may seem like something that we don't want to share with our kids or like not want them to know about you, but you do want to help them avoid these errors. So you should let them know that.
Thanks for listening to Finances and Kids and Money. Remember, this week and next week, if you write a review before February 28th and then send us an email letting us know at financesand@aol.com, you'll be in a drawing for an Amazon gift card. We will announce the winner on that following show. We know that you chose to listen and we're grateful. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe and share and consider leaving a review because it helps bring financial education to others and it helps them find us more easily. Please let us know what questions you'd like answered by going to our website at financesand.net. You can find infographics on this show and others on our website as well. Finances And does not provide tax or legal advice, and nothing in this podcast is to be construed as such. Always consult a tax, accounting, or legal professional for advice on your specific situation. Remember, I went to school, so you don't have to. Just the cows.
Just the cows. They didn't pay as much.
You drank all your profits. Definitely. Bye, bye, bye.
You brought up gaming.